The following is an audio-only version of a video that you'll find posted at BoolaNetwork.com, dated February the 13th, 2013. Thanks for listening. Every now and again, I have a conversation that, well, I started to say a conversation that baffles me, but it really is something, it's something quite more than that. It's a conversation that is insightful and baffling all at the same time, and produces an epiphany. But it's not an epiphany in the sense that it's something never before thought of. It's just, it's something that the timing is right. And timing is a big component, I think, in our lives. You've heard a lot of stuff, and it's not necessarily that you hear something new, but you can hear something on one occasion and it has more of an impact, even though you may have heard it a million times before. And it was that kind of a sensation. And the conversation was about worthiness. Person questioning, you know, whether they were even meant to achieve anything at a reasonably high level. And of course, me having the belief that I do, that if a person sets about to achieve at a high level, they can. I'm not a person who thinks that you can achieve at a high level in anything. I'm not that naive. I do not believe that I could just set before me some smorgasbord of human endeavor and say, I can just randomly pick any one of those things. And if I set my mind to it, I could achieve greatness in those things, excellence in those things, that I could be remarkable at any one of those things, because that would presuppose that I have a talent and a skill for everything. And I don't, and you don't either. That doesn't mean that there aren't a variety of things, that there aren't some choices that I could make, any one of which could bring about extraordinary success if I properly applied myself. But I found myself wrestling, if only in my mind, this whole notion of what are we worth? What is our work worth? What is our business worth? What is our talent and our skill worth? And I just can't really get my head wrapped around, and I don't think I should try, by the way, that I can get my head wrapped around the notion that some people are just, they're worthy of it and other people aren't, and that the reason that success is bestowed upon some is because they're worthy of it, and the reason it's not bestowed upon others is because they're not worthy of it. And then you have the whole notion of, wait a minute. Achievement, accomplishment, excellence, success, it's bestowed. No, it isn't. It may not necessarily be earned, but something more often than not happens to us as a result of effort that we have put into something. Garbage in, garbage out, and all that. Okay, sure. There are lottery winners. Sure, there are people who inherit wealth through no action taken on their part. Yes, there are children born into extraordinarily wealthy families. It happens. But by and large, when we look at human achievement and we're looking at the people that have succeeded and the people that have achieved and the people that are reaching for remarkable results, they do have some things in common. Yeah, there's a ton of things that they don't necessarily share, which proves to us, I think, it should prove to us, that it's attainable no matter what the color of your skin, no matter if you're male or female, no matter if you're a teenager or you're 80 years old, no matter if you're born in America or if you're born somewhere else, no matter if you speak English or something else, we can find success everywhere. We can find achievement, high achievement, everywhere. But at the heart of this conversation was, I guess, for lack of a better word or a better phrase, a money mindset. And I've instinctively known this. I've intellectually known this, but I don't know why. It kind of hit me like a ton of bricks that so much of our drive, our determination, our philosophy, our mindset was established when we were kids. And it's the result of how we were brought up. And I'm not picking on anything here, by the way. It's just, it was just this moment of just extraordinary interest in, if we have this endless loop tape, as it has often been referred to, playing in our head that tells us things, that gives us these messages. When my children were very small, I would tell them, especially if they tried something for the first time and they couldn't master it, just like all the rest of us, right? I mean, when you first try something, if you've never done it before, whether it's riding a bike, whether it's swinging a baseball bat, whatever it may be, if you've never done it before, you're not going to be spectacular at it first go. And it would be often in those moments where I would see their frustration, I would sense this temptation to give up and to quit. And, you know, Dad leans down and I would give them this kind of a speech. There is this little man, you can't see him, but you can hear him. Maybe not in your ears, but you hear him in your head. And he's perched on your shoulder. And he's telling you that you can't do it. He's chirping in your ear, constantly reminding you, you'll never be able to do this. See, I told you you couldn't do it. And every time that you fail, he's going to be right in your ear telling you, told you so, told you so. See, told you you couldn't do it. There is another voice. He's perched on your other shoulder. And you don't hear him in your ear necessarily, but you do hear him in your head. And he's telling you, come on, you can do this. Come on, don't give up. Your success is going to be determined by which of those voices you allow to be the loudest. If you allow the first voice to be the loudest, he's right. You won't ever learn to ride a bike. You won't ever learn to swing a bat. You won't ever learn to do whatever it may have been. But if you'll silence him, and of course I would get more graphic than that, you need to kill him. You need to kill him. I mean, you don't even need to let him be there. You need to listen to the other voice, because the other voice is equally telling you the truth. If you will stick with it, if you will believe I can do this, and if you will tell yourself, I know I can do this, I may not be able to do it the very next time, but eventually I'm going to be able to do this, then you will succeed. And, you know, my hope was, as a father of little kids, and I now tell my grandkids similar messages. We've all got these two little characters perched on our shoulder, these two little invisible voices in our head. And no matter how old you get, they're still there. I'm older and I'm wiser to know now, impossible for a small child to kill that voice that tells you you can't do it, because now that I'm old, he's still there. He's been with me my entire life. And it proves to me how powerful all this head talk is. And it proves to me that some of the recordings that happened when we were very young that form this endless loop that plays and plays and plays and plays. And I don't know why. It dawned on me that I needed to listen to, you know, the 20-something year old, the 30-something year old version of me on one knee talking to my small children who are now grown adults. I probably needed to give myself that same speech. I mean, there are many, many times I need to give myself that same speech. And you'd think, come on, after all these years, you'd think something as fundamental as this, can't we master this? Can't we master the noise in our head? It's hard. It's very, very hard because fear and frustration and doubt are common to all of us. And so I began to think about, for some reason, I began to think about ABCs and some words just popped into my head. I didn't give this tremendous thought, but I was sometime later after the conversation, I was behind the wheel of my car and I was driving and immediately just thought ABCD. And I thought awareness, belief, conviction, determination, enthusiasm. And it began to be a game of, you know, how many words could just pop into my head that began with these letters as I went through the alphabet. And I was rather pleased that the words I was thinking of, the words that immediately popped into my head, were more positive than negative. They weren't words like, okay, A, apathy. You know, I was thinking in a positive direction, but I'm made to wonder how many of us just have this very skewed view of money, income, success, achievement. And I grew up in a day and age where competitiveness and competitive spirit was, you know, big deal. And I have been competitive, and I see it in my really small grandkids. I see this spirit of competitiveness, some more so than others. I know enough, and I've been around enough little kids, my own and others, to know that there's something inside some kids that's just instinctively more competitive than other kids. And I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. Some of the highest achievers on the planet are ridiculously competitive. But when it comes to this whole thing of achievement and success, I don't think that we should necessarily presuppose that that competitive nature means that I win at your expense. And I've never necessarily thought that, but I encounter people pretty regularly who do. Especially today in this internet age with social media and everyone, you know, wanting political correctness and everyone, you know, be kind to one another. I got news for you. There are some people that they're not worthy of your kindness. There are some things that political correctness is stifling us and is killing us. But there's also the counter argument of there is villainy, and there are acts of hatred. And how do we resolve all of this? Well, you know, it's a big issue. There are so many big issues. But for this conversation and the one that I was having, and for the thoughts that I was having as I was driving my car, it was about, how do we view ourselves? How do we view our place in the world? How do we view our worthiness? I mean, is it as though the universe doesn't want us to succeed? Is that what holds us back? I think these are excuses, and I think they're handy and they're readily available. And too many times, we're looking for, okay, there's an excuse. It's handy. I can pick that up and I can embrace that and call that my own. I think it's a mistake. And when it comes to income specifically, and I grew up in a generation, you don't see it so much anymore, but I grew up in a generation where it was really taboo. It was really taboo for someone to say, you know, how much they made. It was really taboo for someone to tell you, or for you to ask, you know, how much did you pay for that car? You know, how much did you pay for this house? You simply didn't ask those things. And today, well, you'd be hard pressed to find too many 20 or 30s somethings that it's not going to be the elephant in the room in the conversation. And of course you will hear it. It's primarily in marketing messages. You know, I did this launch, someone may say, and in the first 12 hours we did $250,000, and you wouldn't have heard that 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Yeah, that's a rather recent phenomenon of people wearing as a badge of honor a dollar amount. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood here. I'm not saying that a dollar amount constitutes success. It can constitute a component of success, that is, financial success. It may constitute a component of marketing success. I know of people, I know of men who are now in federal prison who financially did tremendously well. Millions of dollars. Oh yes, it was illegal. Yes, they were scoundrels. They lied, they scammed, they cheated. They're paying the price. But there was a time people could look at the houses they lived in, the cars that they drove, and the way that they talked and the way they handled themselves and thought, yeah, I want to be like him. It's a facade. Is everybody that way? No. But some are. All that glitters ain't gold. And just because it's on the internet does not mean that it's true. I'm always struck by people who talk about a billable rate. I have worked with some of the very best attorneys in Dallas, Texas. High-end guys. And it's interesting to me. Here are people with a very precise skill set, very precise credentials, spectacular history and record, and a lifetime of practice. And you can see some cat on the internet who's got some blog, and he's trying to convince me that his hourly rate is $6,000 an hour or north. And the masses, the lemmings, you know, everything that drips from his lips must be golden. Well, it probably is a different color, and it probably smells very different than gold. And so we have this whole big dilemma that happens. And this was one of the things that prompted the conversation that I'm now recounting of. It can help some people have this disdain for money, this disdain for success, because some of us know these things to be true. But, you know, it's just like anything else. And I don't care where you stand on the gun issue. I do not own a firearm of any kind. That's just a personal choice. I don't have a particular problem with firearms being properly handled, proper protections being taken. But no matter where you stand on the issue, I know people who are avid outdoors people and hunters. They have never, ever used a firearm against another human being, nor would they. Can be used for good. As I record this, there's some cat in California, you know, this man that has written this 11-page manifesto And, you know, this lunatic that's killing cops and threatening to kill cops. Well, he's using this weapon for no good at all. So money and success are kind of the same thing, aren't they? I mean, it's this, some great things can be done with money. We can help people that need a helping hand. We can give to causes that mean something, that are doing good in the world. We could also buy illegal drugs. We could also buy illicit relationships. We could do a lot of bad things with money. Money will afford you to do a lot of bad things, but it will also afford you to do an awful lot of good things. And I think there are some people out there, and I'm suspecting that there probably are far more than I may have realized. And I'm going to confess, sometimes it affects me too, that we get this notion that, you know, money is just this bad thing. And it's not. It's not. No more so than I believe a firearm is a bad thing. It's just a thing. It is this inanimate thing that can be used properly, can be used improperly. Money is the same thing. Success is the same thing. I put forth an argument, and this wasn't the first time I'd put forth the argument. If we were all of the mind that, you know, this proverbial vow of poverty was the way to happiness, how would society possibly function? I mean, what would our tax base look like? I don't care where you live in the world. What would the tax base look like? What would your country look like? What would your government look like? What would your society look like? How would that make any of us better? I mean, life would be horrible. It's one reason that, frankly, my personal view is, for not only our government here in the States, but governments all over the world, should not penalize entrepreneurship, should not burden people who are building wealth, creating wealth. That should be rewarded. That shouldn't be penalized, certainly shouldn't be apologized for, as some in Washington are currently doing, but that's just my personal belief. I think achievement should be applauded and rewarded, certainly when done properly. And we can't always know. Good bad guys don't always get found out, but most eventually do. Success, financial or otherwise. Are you worth it? Why shouldn't you be? Why shouldn't you be worth it? And why in the world would you question that you're not? Why would you think that someone else on the planet is more worthy of it than you are? What makes them special? I mean, do you believe that there is some fairy that came and sprinkled special dust over them and anointed them and gave them the wherewithal, the talent, the opportunities? No, stop using the excuse. Get off your backside and just start hustling. And start hustling with the belief and the voice in your ear that's telling you, come on, you can do this. You can do this. You can make a positive difference in the world. You can make a positive difference in the world for yourself and for your family. Hey, if it doesn't go beyond that, that's a pretty good thing. It's a far better thing than if somebody else is having to take care of your family because you can't or you won't. We can either put ourselves in better positions so that we can be people who are able to give a helping hand, or we can be the people who have our hand up and out because we need somebody to help us. And I guess for me, the question is, which one of those do you want to be? Well, as for me, I know which one I want to be. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. This is the Yellow Studio.